guy like Cesaro and guys like Sheamus that have done such a good job, and Cesaro's such a powerhouse. I mean, he's probably one of the strongest guys in the WWE right now. I mean, we've seen him when he does that, when he throws him up in the air and does those Swiss uppercuts, and I mean, the guy is just strong. I mean, that's why they call him the Swiss Superman, you know, because he's just so amazingly talented. And to have him lose to Braun Strowman was kind of a foolish thing. And they're like, you know, and I understand, oh, well, they got to make Brock look, or I mean, Braun look like he's unstoppable and like he doesn't need a partner and he can do it all himself. And it's like, oh, why?
Why?
Because I would rather see somebody like Samoa Joe have the belt than Braun Strowman, because Samoa Joe deserves it. You know, he's been in how many different promotions, and he's been around the world for how many, and the guy is, I mean, for such a big guy, I mean, he is so moves so good, and I love watching him when they turn him loose and let him do what he does best. You know, he is so good. And you know, and if it's the anti-hero they're going for, Samoa Joe's perfect for that role. You know, he doesn't have to be a heel, he doesn't have to be a face, he just has to be a badass. And he is, you
That's
know.
what he is. Oh,
I
he
mean,
is.
there's no doubt in my mind that I mean, you could have some excellent feuds, like, you know, two big guys like Samoa Joe and Kevin Owens going at it. I mean, talk about some. There's so much potential there, and Brock is just so awful in the ring. I mean, all he does is suplex after suplex after suplex, and it's so redundant and so boring.
And you know he can do other things. He was a collegiate All-American
Yeah, and you
wrestler,
know,
so he knows
and
how to
he
grapple.
and he spent he went to the same fetching school at the same time that John Cena and Randy Orton and Dave Bautista and all those guys did, and they all can put on some pretty decent matches.
And I think if Roman was gone for a while, whether he takes a month off, maybe he takes 2 months off for an injury, or just to take him off TV for a while, that when he came back, he would get a different reaction. But I think it was the MK Bandit last year that said to us that you have wrestling fans that are kind of like us, and then you have WWE fans that's all they want to see. They want to see Cena. They want to see Roman Reigns. They want to see people like AJ Styles and The New Day. That's who they want to see. That's the people they want to see. They could care less about the Young Bucks. They could care less about the Motor City Machine Guns because they don't know them, because they don't really watch a lot of wrestling.
Tell me about Ring of Honor.
ROH. Had their own Super Card of Honor, but they've been starting their own streaming service called the Honor Club. And they were overwhelmed with how many people wanted to see their pay-per-view on Saturday night from New Orleans, and they had all kinds of technical issues. Lots of technical issues, and most people couldn't watch it. I enjoy ROH. And then again, I enjoy Impact and Lucha Underground, all for different reasons. But to see them really trying to do something basically for the first time, they've had other pay-per-views, but to have a big event, they had over 6,000 people in their arena, and to have all those technical issues happen. And since you and I both work in the broadcast industry, we know technical issues happen, and man, you pull your hair out trying to get things
Sure do.
ready. And the pressure when things aren't working right is, you've never had that kind of pressure in your life. But to see them trying so hard and then to have something like this happen, basically beyond their control, I honestly feel sorry for the guys. Now ask me about Impact.
Okay, tell me about TNA Impact.
Drop the TNA. They don't use TNA anymore. Impact. They had an event in New Orleans where they were wrestling against Lucha Underground. and it was on Twitch TV, and it is still available on Twitch TV. And then our friend Marty the Moth Martinez, he was not announced to be a competitor there, but he was. And it was fun. And also Twitch TV, and I haven't watched this one yet, but I promise I will. The House of Hardcore also was down there, and MK Bandit, who's been on with us before, has performed on that in New Orleans that weekend. So, whew, it was a busy weekend, man. Coming up in more Turnbuckle Trash, we'll look at the month of May, including the greatest Royal Rumble, the Superstar Shakeup, the beginnings of All In, and indie wrestling really gets a push, all on Turnbuckle Trash.
Turnbuckle Trash fans, you can stay in the ring with us by following us on Facebook and clicking that like button on our Facebook page, Turnbuckle Trash. Or you can follow us on Twitter, at Turnbuckle Trash. And in case you got any comments, suggestions, or questions, you can email us at WPFpod@gmail.com. Again, that's WPFpod@gmail.com.
This is Turnbuckle Trash. Zane Peterson.
You're the greatest guy in the whole galaxy.
Yeah, I'm a real class act.
Now we'll get some action.
Ajay Salveson.
The juice is loose.
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 Dave Denton.
Man, he don't want no bread. He don't want no salad. All he wants is meat.
It's time to take out the trash.
Let's show him what we got, guys.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I want to play one more time from the Monday night right after WrestleMania, when Elias was out talking to the crowd, singing to the crowd, and called them scumbags. And the reaction from the crowd was perfect.
Now listen, listen. I am going to perform tonight. Granted, I understand it's essentially the same unappreciative crowd full of scumbags from last night. Cell phones, hold your applause, and shut your mouths!
Shake up.
I said shake, rattle and roll.
Shaking all over.
This is the Superstar Shake
Up. Oh, yeah.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
But every year, right after WrestleMania, they have something called the Superstar Shake Up. It used to be called the Draft. Now they just call it the Shake Up.
The SmackDown roster is so good right now. It's crazy. Oh, wow. If Vince is trying to keep Raw as the top show, then he didn't do a very good job at it.
The Miz is going over there. Samoa Joe, Asuka, Jeff Hardy, Cesaro, and Sheamus, The Bar.
The Raw, Dolph Ziggler, Drew McIntyre. Everybody's saying that's the new Shawn Michaels and Diesel combo.
I like it. I've always been a fan of Drew McIntyre. I thought he got the short end of the stick when they did that three-man band piece of you-know-what that they did. But he is incredible to watch. And, you know, you and I are both huge fans of Dolph Ziggler.
On Instagram, you know, they were showing there was that picture. There's a picture going around of Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre everybody's, and then somebody in the comments was like, oh, do you realize that Heath Slater's on Raw now too? They can get 3MB back together. And I was like, why would you ever do that? The Engineer Mahal, why would you ever do that? That was the worst, like, decision ever, 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 ever. That was the worst faction ever. Ever.
Yeah.
Ever, ever,
yeah.
Ever, ever, ever.
Ever. Ever. And then I like the twist they did on Raw, bringing in Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, with them not being employed, and now they're on the Raw roster. I thought that was good.
Dude, and you got to talk to me about when Kevin and Sami show up on Raw, and Kurt, they did a backstage segment, and Kurt Angle says, "What are you guys doing here?" And they're like, "Well, you know, we had some differences over at SmackDown," and he says, "Well, I hear TNA is hiring."
Oh.
He's a former MMA champion from one of my favorite segments, the Battle of the Billionaires, who represented none other than President of the United States, Donald J. Trump.
Mm-hmm.
The man, the myth, the legend, Bobby Lashley. He's a stud, dude. He's a stud.
He is just that looking strong. He's awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait to see him smash Brock Lesnar's face right into the mat and take the belt. I hope they would give him some time. Let's lock out a solid 50-minute match, you know, no disqualification, you know, no count out, and let them and just step away. Just WWE, creative, Vince, whatever. Step away and let them just work it out between them.
I would rather see that match right now than Braun Strowman against Brock or Roman Reigns against Brock. But like you said at the beginning of the segment, man, SmackDown is stacked.
That promo, I don't know if that was when The Miz just completely destroys Daniel Bryan with words. I mean, dude, after he got done screaming and yelling at Daniel Bryan, I was like, wow.
And I love that SummerSlam is always in New York City. I mean, if you think of summer, you think of New York
Hot
City,
town,
don't you?
Summer in the what? City, back of my neck, getting dirt and gritty.
The live show is coming to Salt Lake in June.
Remember when they first announced it, I contacted the WWE about getting an interview with one of their superstars, like I always try to do, you know. I mentioned that we had added the radio station permission to use it on my show, and also putting it on our CashValleyDaily.com, and also to use it on portions of our Turnbuckle Trash podcast. They turned it down. I was really disappointed. But all I did was said, thank you for your consideration. I'll be contacted another time. So it just ticked me off, to be honest with you. So,
well, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they're not interested in promoting their products or what. I mean, I've reached out to even smaller, more local promotions like in Las Vegas and stuff. And I call them and leave messages and email them. And I don't know.
It's their problem, not ours. We'll still talk about them. We'll take the high road, and you take the low road.
On to the greatest Royal Rumble.
And it was okay.
No, it was the greatest.
The greatest? The greatest.
Boy, that's an original name.
Sami Zayn could not perform there. Yeah, he did not perform there because... Now, they're doing a pretty good work with this on SmackDown right now, or is it Raw? Anyway, he is of, let's see, it's not Saudi Arabia, Syrian descent, I think it is. And Saudi Arabia and Syria are not seeing eye to eye right now. And that's why they thought there would be some repercussions if Sami did perform, although he grew up in Canada, you know, so there was some political intrigue there. And you know they're saying that he didn't go there because he had vertigo because of what Bobby Lashley did to him in the ring. It's really funny though. Sami Zayn did a bit about Bobby Lashley saying that he was going to bring in Bobby Lashley's sisters.
Did you see that one? Okay, so Sammy gets in the ring. He starts cutting a promo on Bobby Lashley because Bobby Lashley ruined him going to the Greatest Royal Rumble because of vertigo, because of some move he did to him on the ring. And then Sammy started cutting down that horrible little interview they did with Bobby Lashley talking about his family and his sisters. And Sammy said he'd been on Facebook in contact with his sisters, and on Monday Night Raw he was going to bring in Bobby Lashley's sisters to tell a completely different story than what Bobby said. So,
tell me about during the Rumble itself.
And now, on Turnbuckle Trash, it's the Titus Worldwide
Rumble.
Oh my god! I can't believe what I just saw!
Oh my god!
Oh my god, did that happen? Oh my god, here's the replay. Titus O'Neil trying to get into the ring, and O'Neil trips and went head first through the apron underneath the ring.
Hey, I love it when a plan comes
through. And O'Neil trips and went head first through the apron underneath the ring.
You know what, man? I just failed.
Big Titus O'Neil, come on down and make an impression.
I think this man can make an impression.
Because you've been training for this your whole life.
Of course there was the infamous NXT barrel, the keg, but he had no keg this time. Go get him!
I think he threw some kegs around at the University of Florida.
What happened with Titus?
Sprinting at full speed. And his foot got caught, or a ghost came under him and swept his foot, or there was a banana peel that was hard to see.
Unbelievable! I don't believe
what I just saw!
I don't believe what I just saw!
All I have to say is, our partner is going to shock the world because he is none other than the Shock Factor!
I love it when a plan comes together.
You seem to know what you're doing.
And O'Neil tripped and went headfirst through the apron.
That may be the greatest moment in Royal Rumble history.
Corey Graves was on a podcast this past week, and I was listening to part of it. And my apologies, because I'm just doing it off the top of my head. I can't remember which one it was. But Corey says every time he sees that, he loses it. He starts laughing. Did you see who some of the surprise entrants they had this time at the Royal Rumble?
Rey Mysterio was there, wasn't he?
Rey Mysterio was there, the Great Khali, and even Hornswoggle.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And Hornswoggle was trying to get up on the top rope for his tadpole splash, and he didn't quite make that top rope. Yep.
A little bit of a botch.
Who's tired of Roman and Brock? Raise your hand. Okay, I am. It's frustrating to me as a fan that this feud between the two has been so drawn out.
I don't know. I guess there's a reason why we're not WWE creative, right?
Because we're not that creative. They're calling it Monday Night Rollins every time he's in the ring, which...
Good. Better than Monday Night Rollins?
What?
They're not Jericho.
I've never heard of that.
The rumor on the street is that Big Cass went off script and is in big trouble for it.
Well, yeah, Big Cass had a spot when Daniel couldn't be there. Right after the Greatest Royal Rumble. I don't know if you saw Daniel's chest after that Rumble match, but Roderick Strong just beat on his chest with those chops, and they were a little concerned that he could bust open some of those bruises and get an infection in there. So they let him sit out a week to heal up. And so they did a quick little thing with Big Cass and a little person, a midget, a wrestler from wherever they were, I think from Pittsburgh. And they had him dress up like Daniel Bryan with a beard and everything. They came into the ring. Cass was just supposed to give him that big boot and then go down. Well, Cass had been
saying, you know, we need to do more than just the boot. So he was told not to, and he continued to beat on this wrestler's head that was dressed up like Daniel Bryan, and evidently Vince was not happy. So.
Yeah. Well, so we went from the Greatest Royal Rumble right into
Backlash.
And that, I gotta tell you, that Miz versus Seth Rollins match was one of the best matches I've seen in a long time. Dude, the Miz has been, must be spending some serious time in the WWE Performance Center or something, because he has improved his game so much. You know, there's still...
I think that he's just doing the best work, not only on the mic. He's always been good on the mic, you know, just kind of a real, just great grating on your nerves kind of mic skills. But his in-ring work, I think, has improved tremendously.
Yes, I would concur, Doctor.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Bully theme with Nia and Alexa Bliss, that was kind of stupid. I don't care for Nia Jax so much. I don't think she's that good.
You can kind of understand why, because there's so much negative publicity out there right now about people that have depression problems and are getting bullied. And the WWE is using this to kind of put out the messages, don't let bullies get to you. Just teach them to count to one and just walk away, you know? Use that visual aid with the one finger and say, your opinion doesn't count to me. You know, I don't care what you think about me.
Yeah, but it's funny how, like, Nia's three times the size of Alexa, but Alexa's the bully.
I know, isn't that funny? New Day, Rusev Day. You start thinking about what they were doing in the ring. Here comes Elias. He's doing his impressions, and he says he's one of Bruce Springsteen's best friends. And
Bruce Springsteen calls him for advice.
Yeah. And then when you get the New Day coming out, and they have Big E with the big old drum, and then you've got Kofi with the cymbals, and you've got Francesca out there with the New Day, and they start doing their pancake thing. Oh, I was laughing my head off. No Way Jose comes out with his conga line. I thought that was a brilliant, really, I thought it was really good. I loved that segment. Rusev called Elias the bootleg Bob Dylan, and the New Day the Booty Boys.
Carmella versus Charlotte. What's the doctor say about the current SmackDown Women's Championship feud?
Well, besides Carmella just being smoking hot, I love her mic skills. They've got her using ring psychology. So I like the ring psychology with her playing the, you know, the princess and that role, and just being a little snide, little conniving, you know what.
So next we have AJ Styles versus shit stain Nakamura.
I've never thought of that name before. I've been trying to come up with some name for him, but so Nakamura has been turning heel. I like him as a heel so much better than a babyface.
Yeah, what happened to the brass knucks hit tucked in the trunks, you know?
Let's ask the MK Bandit. He does that.
Yeah, he does. He's got his heel knucks.
The MK Bandit, if you don't know, is working in a lot of different promotions. He's been on the podcast with us, and he also works with Tommy Dreamer at the House of Hardcore, and he plays a manager that does all that kind of thing.
Somebody I compared him, they said that he was the Paul Heyman of the independent circuit, and I'm like, holy cow. Okay, Bobby Lashley and Braun Strowman versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I don't get this one either.
I think they're waiting for something to happen. I'm talking creative in the WWE. They might not be 100% sure what's going to be happening with Brock Lesnar, even though they say he's signed a contract.
I would think that Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar would sell more tickets than Bobby Lashley versus Braun Strowman or Braun Strowman versus Brock.
That would be the match I would want to see if I had my...
Keep the blood to a minimum, but you guys go out there and just tear this arena to pieces. don't understand what they're trying to make out of Roman Reigns. What he's never going to be the next Rock. He's just not. I mean, it doesn't matter what you want out of him. It's not going to happen.
And it's not his fault. I think he's just being misused. I really do.
You know, he works just as hard as a lot of other superstars. And remember that match between him and the Big Show? It was a no disqualification. I mean, there wasn't anything technical about it. They just destroyed announce tables, and they just destroyed each other. And I remember telling you in the studio up there,
in the Cash Valley Media Group studio, that is,
that how awesome of a match that was to see Roman just not try to be, you know, Hulk Hogan, and to not try to be The Rock, and to just go out there and just destroy the Big Show.
I love you.
Why did that advance Bobby? Did it advance him as a character one iota?
I love you.
To a wrestling fan, he is a monster, and he comes out there and he's talking all kinds of soft, talking about he come from a great family.
I love you.
And he probably did. I'm not saying anything about him personally. I'm saying, but he looks like this beast. Let him be the beast.
I love you.
Walking Armageddon is what they called him in Impact. What a great name.
And let him beat the beast. Let him be the Dragon Slayer.
Yeah.
You know? Let him, I mean, you know, the guy should just... The first thing he should have done was Paul Heyman was out there cutting a promo about how Brock Lesnar destroyed Roman Reigns or this or that. He should have interrupted Paul Heyman, and Paul Heyman should have crapped down both legs.
Mm-hmm.
And Brock should have been standing in the ring next to Paul, and Bobby run down that arena, and just those two just go at it and have the whole entire roster have to separate them.
I love you.
That makes sense. What they've done with him, to me, doesn't.
And then just keep having that happen until SummerSlam. I mean, we're not that far away from SummerSlam.
No, we're not.
And what are they going to do, another two-week build-up to SummerSlam? I mean, you know, it's time to start putting some SummerSlam stories into play. And why are we wasting our time putting Bobby with Braun Strowman and this and that? It's like, let's just cut to the chase. Let's just get it done, you know?
I love you.
Have him destroy Brock.
I'm glad you brought up that point. Because the WWE, even though they cut back by two the amount of pay-per-view quality shows that they're going to have, and they're going to have more of the co-branded ones, but the lack of setup time for the upcoming pay-per-view is, I think, a real problem they need to address, because they're going month by month now with all these different little pay-per-views, and sure, your bigger feuds can continue, but what do you do about Daniel Bryan and Big Cass? Are you going to have them going to two or three different pay-per-views to get their issues settled? Or are you going to try to set up a different type of angle for said SummerSlam with Daniel Bryan and The Miz? That makes more sense to me than having a smaller feud with somebody like with Big Cass. So I think sometimes the WWE probably bites off a little bit more than they can chew, because they've got the network now, and the network is a success. I think that success might be hurting them a little bit in the creative department.
Yeah, you got a point. And I mean, like, think about, we had the greatest Royal Rumble, and 2 weeks later, let's just be honest, the greatest Royal Rumble was nothing more than just a moneymaker. And then we go into Backlash, and I'm like, freaking 2 days later, and it's like, wait, whoa, didn't we just have, what happened here? You know, if all they're doing is making matches, give them some time off. Let them go home, sit this pay-per-view out, see their families, and maybe let somebody have an NXT match or two mixed in here or there. We don't see the dollar signs, though. We just see the strange things.
Yeah, wasn't it WrestleMania was on April the 8th, and then they had the Greatest Royal Rumble just a couple of weeks later, and then on May the 6th we had Backlash, and now on May 27th is going to be Payback, then just a couple of weeks later is Money in the Bank, then we get about a month break before Battleground and July the 15th. It just is not given enough time to build a storyline.
Well, and how many times have we said that Backlash, you know, aside from The Miz and Seth Rollins, I mean, it was basically a glorified episode of Raw.
We are wrestling fans, and we're confused. Sometimes, as Chris says, they've got our money, they don't care. Honestly, I think that's part of it. Evidently, they didn't care to give me an interview with one of their talents. So, but I'm not bitter. Yeah, right.
Shifting gears here, Lucha Underground's coming out with a new season.
Yes, isn't that great? Starting, I think it's like June the 13th or something like that, isn't it?
Yeah, and then ROH, I guess, has been riddled with injuries.
Man, haven't they ever. They've had a lot of injuries. Dalton Castle broke a bone in his hand. Brandi Rhodes had a shoulder injury. She's going to be out for a while.
He's in two new movies. He's in a movie with Sylvester Stallone. What was it? Lockdown 2. And then he's in another movie with Jodie Foster.
Jodie Foster and Batista?
She just told everyone your deepest, darkest secret.
Dude, come on. I think you're overreacting a little bit.
You must be so embarrassed.
The biggest news of the last couple of weeks has been All In coming up September the 1st in Chicago.
I think Cody has done the best thing for business now. He's trying to I hope Cody really sticks it to Vince this time and just says, you know what, you're not the only one that can sell tickets, and you're not the only one that can bring big crowds to an arena.
To sell out 10,000 seats in 30 minutes and then have people wanting more.
And hopefully if they want to do business correctly, they'll put the belt on Cody. He's a deserving champion, and it would be a tribute to his dad because his father held the NWA championship a long time ago. He was a great champion, and I think it's time for Cody to hold another championship and put another notch on his belt. He doesn't have to be with a big time promotion to be a champion.
But well, you know, there seems to be a little bit more emphasis on the independents, the ROH, the people at Lucha Underground, the Impact Wrestling, the stuff from AAA, getting a little bit more. The more the mainstream fans are discovering them, and some of the really great performers they have available there, and they try them out, and they like them. Of course, Marty the Moth Martinez is from that area. That's where he lives. He lives just south of Salt Lake City. But, that would just be such a hoot to be able to go into.
Yeah, they called him Donny Osmond on Tough Enough all the time. I think it was Bill DeMont that called him Donny Osmond. That when they let somebody go, and then they become this huge star. I mean, WWE has really got to be scratching their head going, where did we go wrong? And you
when
never
you
know.
Mentioned the you mentioned the Young Bucks, and I was just watching last weekend's ROH TV program. But the Young Bucks in their tag match went against the Briscoes.
Oh,
and I'm telling you, those two teams, for a TV event, tore it up. What a fun, entertaining match. I was so impressed at how entertaining of a wrestling match that was. It was so much fun to watch.
Well, I mean, with the Briscoes is, to me, one of the best tag teams in the business right now. They're one of the originals for Ring of Honor. And the Young Bucks, hats off to them. I mean, their merchandise just flies off the shelf. The only thing that I have against the Young Bucks is too many super kicks, too many super kicks. That's the only thing I have against the Bullet Club. So, I mean, they've done very well, and I'm proud of them. I hope that they become like the number one tag team in professional wrestling, and I think that they're maybe number three or four right now.
You know who's going to perform at All In?
Who's
Stephen Amell.
Oh, really?
You recognize? Yeah, the Arrow. Yeah.
The Well, I see him interfering in a match.
Oh, you know, I've seen him do two or three matches now, and one of the matches he teamed up with Cody, and I think it was the Young Bucks, and it was an eight-man tag, and he was doing some stuff now. So I'm a big fan of Stephen Amell, as most people probably know by now. So
All In will be something that everybody will want to tune in to watch, and it's not the same old stuff.
There's going to be an event outside All In. It's kind of like WrestleCon. You might have to go to Chicago in September and not watch Cub baseball, because I wouldn't do that either. But I would watch some wrestling.
Let me see real professional wrestling. That's all I care
about.
Well,
you know, one thing that's happening now I think is kind of interesting. I'm sorry I can't quote the source, but I recently read talking about some of these people that have left the WWE that are making more money now on the independent circuit. And the three people that I remember the most they talked about was Ryback. Cody's making a lot more money now than he was in the past, because he does the independents, he does ROH, he does New Japan. He goes where he wants to go, and he asks for what he wants to get paid. And he's selling merchandise, too. And then another one that I remember, because she was just in Salt Lake City last night, the former Emma. You know, she got fired because they said she shoplifted, and then they said it was a big misunderstanding. Then they brought her back, and then they tried to change her image. That lasted 1 week, and they went back to the what a mess. And evidently she's doing very, very well now. Emma, I think her name is Tennille, but she demands at least $2,000 a night just for her wrestling.
Wow, so, more power to her. I wish that was worth $2,000 these days. Shoot. I mean, good Lord. Yeah, I can understand that. I mean, if you're a professional wrestler and you know that you're good at your craft and you've been with these big promotions, yeah, you can name your price. Hey, if you want to bring in people and you wanted to put butts in those seats, okay, you're going to have to pay me what I want.
I will tell you this, what Zane said the other day. And this part is not going to be family friendly, okay? So if you're listening with kids and you don't want them to hear a cuss word, go ahead. But Zane called Shinsuke the other day shit stained Nakamura.
Oh, jeez.
Oh,
wait,
I thought
minute.
I was going to die laughing.
Wait a minute. He's got to take that back, because that belongs to another, not a professional wrestler. That nickname belongs to Vince Russo. He's going to take that back.
Vince Russo is worse than a stain, you know?
Do you know that Vince Russo was kicked out of All In? Yeah, he was kicked out in less than 90 minutes. Cody Rhodes told him, no, we don't want bad behavior here. You're not allowed. Goodbye. I just don't understand why his name keeps getting brought up these days. The man just doesn't – I can't stand him. I listened to his podcast one time, and I had to turn it off within like 30 seconds because I couldn't stand to hear his voice.
And then when you listen to Cornette's podcast, you better be ready for four-letter words about every other word. So
I listened to Jim Cornette almost just as much as Turnbuckle Trash, and I just sit there and I shake my head with Jim, but I know he's telling the truth. I mean, he's got the books right in front of him. He's got the pages. He's telling the truth, everything about professional wrestling. Now, if he's lying a little bit, okay, that's fine. But I like Jim Cornette. He doesn't hold nothing back. And it's like Turnbuckle Trash. He tells the truth from his perspective, like you all do from a fan's perspective.
But our perspective from fans is different than what a professional wrestler's perspective would be. We haven't been in the ring. We haven't done the bumps. We have watched it all of our lives. Let's go back to Braun Strowman with that stupid little kid, you know, at WrestleMania. That was the worst thing I have seen in years. That was, I mean, Braun, I'm sorry. If this gets back to you, don't beat me up, my man, because I'm an old man.
It was bad, but try this one. Kenny Omega versus a 9-year-old girl in New Japan.
Oh, did they do that?
Kenny Omega versus a blow-up doll in New Japan wrestling.
Yeah.
you sit there and you're thinking, really? You want me to pay money to watch you wrestle a blow-up doll? You're wanting me to pay you money to watch you wrestle a 9-year-old girl? And I just paid a crap load of money at WrestleMania for a 10-year-old kid to win the WWE Tag Team Championship?
To me, there's got to be a little bit of believability. Even though
yes.
we all know that it's a performance art and they are
yes.
artists, things like that just cross the line to me, just completely cross the line.